Corinthians chapter 12, and to review just a moment or two while you're turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Last Sunday, you recall, we read to you the prophetic word that came to us this past week. God said that the king's city is under siege, which means your business is under siege, your family is under siege. It means that the whole city is under siege. You as an individual are under siege. The battle is upon us, God said. But he also said that you are going to be victorious if you take the power and if you take the weapons that I have given you. We made mention that the power would be the gifts of the Holy Spirit in operation. We made mention that the weapons that we have been given would be the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and the Word of God. Today, before we sit at this table, we want to review what he has given to us and the spiritual gifts. We'll just sort of skip through these spiritual gifts, and that's really not a play on words because we are skipping through these gifts. But when the body comes together, as we're going to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, God has ordained it so that this one or that one can help in the ministry of the person who's come. Now Paul says in chapter 12, verse 1, about spiritual gifts, plural, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to dumb idols. Therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now in the first three verses, he is just telling us about the spiritual gifts. Verse 4, 5, and 6, he is telling us that there is a diversity of these gifts. He says, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now verse 7 is the purpose. The purpose of the spiritual gifts. Now to each man the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. That is why in our ministry teams, we've got the teams at this segment of our church life divided so that when the body comes together to minister for this person or that person, as a body, the spiritual gifts can be in operation for the common good of the person who is seeking deliverance or who is needing the healing. Now in verse 8 and 9, he gives us, and following, the kinds of the gifts. And notice, he says here, these are the gifts of the Spirit. These are not, or is not, the gift of salvation, which we read about in Acts chapter 8, where the word talks about the gift of the Spirit. The gift of the Spirit is salvation. The gifts here are the gifts which have been given by God for the common good of us all. And so he lists some. To one, there is given through the Spirit the ability to speak with wisdom. To another, the ability to speak with knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts, and that's plural, the gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, the ability to speak in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each man just as he determines. Now, if you'll skip down to verse 28, and in the church of God, and in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, and then workers of miracles. Also, those having gifts of healing, reiterating that other verse that we read earlier, those able to help others, those with different with gifts of administration, and finally those speaking in different kinds of tongues. And then in other New Testament passages, we have some other gifts that are spiritual that have been given to the body. Now, people, these are the gifts that God has given this body of Christ. Now, it doesn't mean that all of us have the very same gift, but it means one has this gift, another has that gift, all for the purpose of the common good. Now, to illustrate this, he goes on to say, well, he says in verse 12, the body's a unit. This body is a unit made up of many parts. Now, he's talking about the physical body. I'm talking about the church body. He is saying the body, physical, has many parts. They form one body. So it is with Christ. You know, if you think of Jesus as being just that man way back there sometime in history who died upon a cross, you're all wrong. Because we are the body of Christ. How can we be the body of Christ? We got the gift of the Spirit, that is salvation. God gave himself to us in spirit form. Therefore, we are his and he is ours. We are together. And we, it says here, so it is with Christ. We are in Christ. Now, we all were baptized by, there again, one Spirit into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to what? To drink. We were given the one Spirit to drink. Jesus says, I am water. I am life-giving water. You drink of me and you'll never thirst again, he says. We are to drink of his Spirit. Now he says in verse 14, if you're following, the body is made up of one, not just one part, but many. The foot. Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body. I'm going to rebel, I'm going to pick it, I'm not going to work. It will not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, well, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body. It will not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? Can't you see a big old eye walking around here? Just a big eye? That's why we all have different functions. And people, there is not one of you insignificant. God needs each one of you to be a part of this body. If the whole body were an ear, where would the smell be? But now, in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? You see, the body is not just one part. As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern one for another. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, verse 27, underscore, memorize it, and each one of you is a part of it. Each one of you is a part of it. And you can't say, I'm not needed. When you're not here, you're missed. In the body ministry, you're missed. I'm not sure I can remember the story completely, but it just comes to me. The nose got complaining that it always had to carry the eyeglasses on its nose. The nose said, I'm getting so sick and tired of carrying the glasses. I refuse to do it. I'm not going to carry the glasses anymore. I will cease to carry the glasses for the eye. The eye can't see on its own. That's just tough. And so the glasses were removed because the nose refused to play its part. And the person was walking and only walked a few steps and tripped on a crack on the concrete and fell. And you know what part got hurt? The nose just got squashed and started bleeding. All because he wouldn't take his part. Play at God's said it should be played. All of these scriptures here are talking about our body being put together so that when the enemy is coming to attack you with sickness in your family, your business, your whole family itself, then you can take the power that's here. And these are the weapons and the power spoken prophetically to us last week that we can follow. He says you've got wisdom, you've got knowledge, and you've got faith. Wisdom is that supernatural revelation or insight into divine will and purpose. This is wisdom. It shows us how to solve a problem at any time that might come upon us. It is not to be related to familiar wisdom. This is the gift of wisdom that is given to us. And knowledge is that supernatural revelation of fact, past, present, or future. A person comes down to be healed, and God can reveal to somebody in the word of knowledge that there is something wrong with that person that has to be taken care of before they can receive a healing. One man came up for prayer and healing line, and the pastor that was administering at that time saw a demon on that man, and he said, you need a healing, but before you can have the healing, this demon has got to be cast out of you. And this was the gift of knowledge that was given to him. This gift of knowledge is operating, and any one of you at any time could be at the place where God says, I want you to have it for the common good of the body. Well, I've never had it before. Well, that doesn't mean you'll never have it. As God so wills, he gives these spiritual gifts to a person. And sometimes they may operate with frequency, maybe just one time or another will this gift, for example, of knowledge be given. But it's a supernatural revelation of fact. The gifts of faith is just the ability to believe. It's a supernatural surge of faith that says, I believe that will happen. Prophecy, warning, edifying, uplifting, encouraging, comforting. The discerning of spirits, the interpretation of tongues, the gifts of healings. These are the gifts that God has placed into the church. And before us, the Lord's Supper. What this represents is that which comes into your body as a purifying presence and purifies you of your sin and purifies you of the infection that's in your bloodstream. And then we receive healing. And the gifts of healing and the healing that God gives today is available to the church because God wants you well. And it is his purpose. Sometimes the supernatural manifestation of healing. And sometimes just, the scripture says, the believers laid hands upon the sick and they got well. After a while, we'll be asking you if you need a healing, just to lift your hand and somebody will lay hands upon you. The believers lay hands upon the sick and they will get well. People, this is the power that God has given us as we fight the enemy. The enemy is here. The enemy wants you defeated. The enemy wants you completely down with your face in the ground. And Jesus wants you up. And we have been given that which is necessary. We've been given the whole armor of God, but it comes as a result of what happened at Calvary. Paul says regarding what happened at Calvary when it's seen in the Lord's Supper, he is giving the church some directions. And he says, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup, or anyone, this is us now today, who will eat and drink without recognizing the body of the Lord, eats and drinks judgment on himself. That's why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. These people had an operation, spiritual gifts. They also had an operation, something that was very harmful to the church, because when they were coming to eat at their loved feast, they were showing a great deal of partiality. And it became a very selfish thing. He said in verse 20, if your Bibles are still open, 1 Corinthians 11:20, when you come together, it's not the Lord's Supper you eat. For as you eat, each one goes ahead without waiting for anyone else. One remains hungry, another one gets drunk. Don't you have your own homes to eat in and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? Certainly not. It was like we have our monthly potlucks. The people brought what they had, and the rich fared sumptuously, and those who had nothing got nothing to eat. And they were making very light of why they were there. And then the Lord's Supper was being presented to them. And what he says here is that when you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whenever you do it, as often as you do it, weekly, monthly, quarterly, or even annually. There is no set time in the Word of God. It's just as often as you do it. Before you eat, discern the body. If you don't discern the Lord's body, if you don't discern his stripes, you will die prematurely. If you don't discern his stripes, if you don't discern his body, you will die prematurely. You will die prematurely because you will not have the faith in what happened on Calvary, that was, by his stripes we are healed. So it's important that as we come to the table, we realize that two things are in play here. We have chapter 11 with the Lord's Supper, which goes right back to Calvary, where it starts for us. And then we have the power of these gifts in operation in our body for the common good. And that is why we are told in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. The weapons we fight with against the onslaught of the enemy in our city, upon our town, upon our family, home, and self, are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to tear down strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. The conquest of our spiritual weapons are here. Not the weapons of the flesh do we fight Satan and his powers. No, not the weapons of our flesh. The weapons we use are these spiritual weapons. And these are the spiritual weapons that he says here that have the power to tear down the strongholds. Now, when the enemy has invaded the city and is all around us right now, remember, Satan has gotten control. He's here with his demons. And they're taking strongholds in your family, take strongholds in yourself. And the longer you allow them there, the stronger they get. It's like a real enemy coming into King City, taking the area down there on Broadway, North Broadway, and coming into town farther down. They take more ground, and the stronghold gets stronger, and Satan comes in and gets more power in us, more control over us. And that's why when a person says, I am sick and tired of having this problem in my life. I want help. The person comes for ministry. The ministry team comes together to administer God's blessing to them. It takes everybody working together, all working together as a body so that a person can be delivered. So when the gifts of the Spirit are in operation, it is for the common good. We have divine power to tear down the strongholds. People, this is how we got this divine power. When Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, as he spoke to his disciples, spoke words that they did not understand at the time, he said, this is my bread, body, which is broken for me. And he said, this, the fruit of the vine, is my blood shed for me. And as often as you eat the bread and drink the fruit of the vine, you show forth the Lord's death. What are you showing forth the Lord's death? Why show forth the Lord's death? Because here is the power that you have over your life's problems. This is the power that we have. It is the power that Jesus gives to you because he shed his blood and he had his body that was broken. Would you pray with me? Father, the enemy is approaching, advancing, striking to kill. I thank you for the word of God, which gives us insight into this, that their leader is a deceiver, their leader is a liar, and their leader is defeated. I praise you, Father God, until that time that Jesus does come, we have been given what we need to fight the enemy. May it register loud and clear on every one of our hearts that we are not just in a garden of memories or in a garden of happiness and gaiety and life and jovialness. We are in a battle. Why else would the Lord give us through the Apostle Paul the armor? I smite you, Satan, in the name of Jesus for deceiving us that all is well when all is not well. I smite you, Satan, in the name of Jesus for telling us peace, peace, when there is no peace. I say to you, Satan, you are a defeated foe. You were defeated upon the cross. And as we hold that which represents the broken body and the spilt blood of Jesus this day, I ask that the Spirit of God create a quickening within our hearts to realize that we are victors with Jesus and we are defeated without him. May it not be another servant, but when we handle this bread and when we actually hold the fruit of the vine, may we realize that we are holding the most powerful weapon in all the world. And that is the blood of Jesus, the love of God incarnate in Christ Jesus. And so we arise from this place to go forth into battle, carrying the name of Jesus, carrying the blood of Jesus, and carrying the word of God, victorious, with determination, with persistence. Whereas we don't see victory immediately, we will stay with it and we will battle it until we have seen the flag of victory. Father, bless now in the name of Jesus as we come to your table. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Our deacons, come forward, please. This is his body, people. Father, as we distribute this bread, unleavened bread, that which represents sin in leaven has been removed. It's unleavened bread. Only could it be the body of Jesus. We take it into our body, making him part of us. In Jesus' name, amen.